Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
The series that we are on this month of March is entitled Walking with God. Walking with God. It is my desire that every member of this church will start a genuine walk with God. A genuine walk with God. I mean to say that it will not just be a general walk. That you are a part of a church, you know, and then maybe you have a leader who is walking with God and you are just following him. Or you know somebody that is walking with God and you are just helping them. Are you here? We want to walk with God, all of us. It is the desire of God that each one of us will develop a personal and intimate walk with God. I want to repeat that. Personal and intimate walk with God. The Bible says in Genesis 5 verse 23 and 24. Enoch lived 365 years. Walking in close fellowship with God. The Lord gave such a beautiful revelation to Lady Pastor Pumi last week on this very piece of scripture. Apparently, a year is made of 365 days. And Enoch walked with God 365 years. It's a very good analogy for us to see that Enoch walked with God, if it was a year, 365 days, Enoch walked closely with God every single day. Every single day. You know, from time to time, we all have that day when you really feel close to God. But the most part, sometimes, you know, you maybe in a week, maybe you walk with God 1 or 2 days, including the Sunday. Like Sunday is one of those days that you are trying to really walk with God, especially Sunday. So if there's a day you walk with God, it's Sunday. The rest of the week, only you know what you are working or who you are working with. But it is the will of God that every day of the year, can you imagine what it will be like to walk in close fellowship with God, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then from January till December. You know, do you know what will happen to you? Do you know what will happen to you? What will happen to you is exactly what happened to Enoch. The Bible says, then one day he disappeared. He disappeared. You see, when you walk really close to God, do you know what will happen? You disappear. You stop to exist. God takes over. And that is the real goal of our walk with God, is that you reach a stage where you've worked so closely with him that you've reached a level where people don't even know now if it is still you or if it is God. Like who is talking? Who is talking? Who is walking? Who is sleeping here? Like, what's going on? Like, he disappeared. He disappeared. He disappeared. So closely that he stopped to be. Wouldn't this be great? That you stop being the one to face the challenge. You've worked so close with God that it is no more you facing the challenge. It is God that has now taken over and that is now fighting the challenge. Because you have disappeared. God has taken over the situation. John the Baptist says in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. I think he was just trying to say, it must come a time where maybe God was behind and I was ahead. Then God caught up with me. Then now slowly but surely, God is ahead and I'm behind. So anything that is on the way I'm going, it meets God first before it meets me, if it will ever meet me. If it will ever meet me. What a way to live your life. So walking with God is all about reaching this level. When you reach this level, then we say things like, you are anointed. You see, we start saying certain things. All these things that we are saying, basically, we are saying that you have walked with God such that now God is the one doing things. It is no longer you who live, but it is Christ who is living. Like, you have walked with him so closely that you have died. He is not the one living. Anybody is catching me? That is what it is. Many challenges are still present because your walk with God hasn't matured. You are still the one fighting the thing. You are still the one fighting the thing. And you know yourself, you are not that strong. You don't have much understanding. So the main small demons is still molesting you for the past 7 years. The same demon, it has even gained muscles. Because you haven't dealt with it. It's growing every day. Bishop Dark tells the story of, he came to South Africa to hold the crusade. And then I think in one of the churches he was preaching. And then God told him to make an announcement that he must pray for the sick. And he didn't want to do it, but apparently the Holy Ghost told him, if you don't pray for the sick, I'm going to kill you. So he realized that he was in danger now for his own life, for the sake of the lives of others. So he made the announcement very loosely, if you have any sickness, come, let me pray for you. So only a few people came on the line for prayer. So he went to this and asked her, what is your problem? The lady said, she has cancer. Do you understand? You didn't want to pray for people in the first place. Now somebody has come with cancer. what are you going to do in this type of a situation? So he says, he laid his hand on the lady and he prayed for her. He moved to the next one, prayed for them. He prayed for all those people. At the end of the program, one lady that was in the building asked to see him. And he gave the lady audience. And the lady says to him, you know, man of God, I see visions. I'm able to see visions. Like if something is happening, I see it. Then she asks Bishop Dark, are you aware that Jesus was with you on stage when you were praying for the people? He said, Mommy, I don't know anything like that. She said, oh, I saw him. Then he says to her, you remember that lady you went to pray for? He said, when you stretch your hand to pray, all along Jesus was next to you. Like when you move, he moves. When you are preaching, he's moving. Everywhere you go, he's just around you. But he said, when you went to pray for that woman, when you laid your hand on her, she said, Jesus entered you. And I stopped seeing you. And it was not Jesus I was seeing, and it is his hand that was on the lady. See, that's what I'm talking about. And you know what? The lady was healed from cancer. There's nothing in us except corruption, weakness, and shame. Those are the things that are in us. The Bible says we are buried in corruption, we are buried in weakness, and we are buried in shame. If anything good will happen from your life and from my life, it will mean that another presence has joined the weakness, another presence has joined the corruption, and another presence has joined the shame. That is what is beginning to cause things to take shape. The Bible says the man was created, but he was lying there, dead. until something from God entered his nostril, then life started. So I pray for you and myself that we will start walking closely with God, closely with God, until a day will come when God will take over. Hallelujah. He will take over the situation. He will take over the problem. He will take over the issues of your life. And you yourself will be able to testify, you know what? There's another presence. Like it's no more just me now. It's no more just me. The results I'm beginning to command are not normal. The things that are happening in and around my life wouldn't have happened if I was still just me. You will agree with me. If you are working with a person and the person has money, I'm sure you realize that wherever you go and you get stuck, do you understand? Chances are, if he likes you and he wants to work with you, he will not allow you to stay there. He will do anything or whatever he can to make sure that you come out of the predicament. But God is mighty. And if you start walking with him, like really walking with him, why will God let you go through trouble? Why will God let you go through difficulty? And he has all the power. And he just lets you go through all those things without ever helping you. No. Something is not right. And that is what we've been trying to solve in this series, where I would like us to start walking closely with God until we disappear and God takes over. We decrease and he increases, and people start seeing him. More of Jesus, less of us. Hallelujah. More of his power, less of our talking. Praise the Lord. So last week, I took you through the first leg of this message. In our attempt to really start walking with God, we must first assess the cost of walking with God. There is a cost. Bishop Oedipo says, every step of a giant takes about 3 steps of a toddler. If you are walking with your little child and you make 1 step, for your little child to match that 1 step, he must make 3 or 4 steps. Are you understand what I'm trying to say? And the taller you are, the more steps he has to make before he can match your step. So imagine you are walking with the God of the universe. The Bible says that the earth cannot even contain his feet alone. So if God makes 1 step, I hope you realize that it's going to cost a bit before you can catch up. Before you can catch up. So there's a cost in walking with God. Matthew 19, 21 to 22. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. He said, come and start walking with me. Do you see? So he told him, I want you to walk with me. But before you start walking with me, do this, and do this. Say with me, the cost. The cost. That's the cost. The Bible says in verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He couldn't pay the price required to follow Jesus, to walk with God. Because he had things, and the things he had, he didn't just have them, like I usually say, those things also had him. So he couldn't really do much. So what it means and what it takes to walk with God, walking with God will always involve removing certain things from your life. There are things that must leave you for you to have a good walk with God. You can't just start working with God. I mean, if I ask you now to just go and live with the president just for one day, you will see the number of things that you have to adjust before you can be. Actually, the whole day is a lot. Just to be with the president for 30 minutes, even 5 minutes, you will not believe the number of things you'll have to adjust in your life. Before you can be with the person, you adjust so many things. And so you can't be with God anyhow. So he told him, go and let go of this. Let go of this. Let go of this. Then now come. There's a cost. Matthew 19 verse 27. Peter speaking to Jesus said, Peter answered Jesus and said, we have left everything to follow you. We have left everything to follow you. There's a man of God who said, the cost to have all of God is all of you. To have all of God, you have to let go of all of you. He is so big, he needs all the space you have and even more space. So anything in there is really a problem because he can't cope with it. So what have you let go so far? What have you left? That's where you need to start. This God that is coming to fight all your battles doesn't lack competition. The Bible is clear. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want to be dealing with you and other people at the same time. What have you left? Number two, to walk with God, certain people must be removed. Number one, certain things must be removed. But also certain people must be removed. Isaiah 6 verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So somebody, when King Uzziah died, that's the day, that's the year me and God started seeing things better. I don't know if King Uzziah was a distraction to Isaiah, but I do know that in your life, certain people are a distraction. In your life, certain people are a real problem, a real obstacle, and they are the reason why you cannot work with God effectively. And as long as those people are in your life, you and God will not have a good walk. You and God will not have a good walk. I'm very sorry to say it, but it's the truth. It's the truth. To enjoy a good walk with God, relationships must be sanitized. Take a spiritual doom and start dooming everything that's supposed to die. Did you understand? Yes. Now, let's continue with today. I'm just continuing from the same line. So today's message, the main hindrance to your walk with God. The main hindrance. The main thing. The main hindrance. How many of you would like to know, like, I want to walk with God, but what is the problem? What is, I want to deal with the main hindrance. You see, the main hindrance to our walk with God, the thing that is messing us up, no matter how you want to walk, this thing just come there like this and then it starts disturbing you. Come with me to 1 Kings 18 verse 21. Here the Bible is saying, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. I mean, walk with him. If the Lord is God, walk with him. But if Baal was an idol, so if Baal is God, then follow Baal. But he told them, why are you confused? I'm talking about the main hindrance, the main thing that makes you and I to not walk with God effectively. He said, if God is God, go fully. But if Baal is your God, also leave God, go for Baal 100%. The Bible says, but the people said nothing. They said nothing. They said nothing. In other words, in their minds, they were not really sure. Is God God? Or is Baal God? And because of that, they could not walk with God fully. And equally, they could not walk with Baal fully. They were just somewhere in between. This is what we call double-minded. They were double-minded. And that double-mindedness was the reason why their work with God could not be effective. Double-mindedness. James chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. He said, this walk that you and I want to have with God, we make the first step. Don't sit there and say, Lord, I'm here, I'm ready. If you want to walk with me, come and walk with me. No. God says, I want you to make the first step. Show me that you are interested in this thing. Show me that you really want to come. Show me that you want to walk with me. Take the first step first. I'm waiting for you. I will not come first. Me, I already came when I sent Jesus to come and do everything for you. Now I cannot come again. I want to see if you want me. And if you want me, you come first. So this work with God does not start with God. It starts with you and me. We come first. We draw near and then God draws near. In other words, God has thrown the ball on our side. Anyone watching this morning or listening to me, your walk or lack of walk with God does not depend on God. He says, draw near. Come close. Come close. What does that mean? When he says, come close to God, it means you are far. It means you are far from God. That's what it means. He says, you are far. Come closer. After all, you are the one who need me. You want me. You want to walk with me. So come closer. What are you doing to come close? What are you doing to get closer? You can't just be there and hoping and wishing that God, you and God will become close. Enoch walked in close fellowship with God. And this verse is now explaining why. Because Enoch kept getting closer and closer and closer until one day he disappeared in God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Now, James goes on to say, wash your hands. Your hands represent activity, the things you are busy with. You sinners, purify your heart. Your heart represents your thoughts, your meditation. So your hands, your actions, your thoughts, your heart, your meditation, they think these are the main areas where we start going off. Activity and thoughts. Then he hits the last bomb, because your loyalty is divided between God and the world. He said, at the moment you are not close. The reason why you are not close, because your loyalty is divided. You are double-minded. You want to draw close, but you also want to be, you want to be with God, but you also want to be with this person. If I ask now, who wants to be close to God? Who wants to? Everybody will raise their hands. I want to walk to God. But do not check the actions we are taking to get close to God. You'll be shocked that there is not much that we are doing to get closer to God. Why? Because there's another force pulling us. There's something else we equally like. There's something else we are equally interested in. And that's why we are double-minded. So the main hindrance to our walk with God are the idols in our hearts. The idols in our lives. They are the ones. They keep creating a challenge between us and God. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 5. The Bible says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? It is, who will go and start a journey with God? It's a hill. Who can ascend it? Who may stand in his holy place? Then he starts saying, number one, he who has clean hands. Didn't I read now in James, it says that, wash your hands. You remember that? Number two, a pure heart. Didn't he mention there that cleanse your heart? Then he mentions something very, very interesting. He says, he who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. He who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor so deceitfully. So you see, an idol is something that captures your soul, your thoughts, your actions, your activity, everything about you start going that side. When there's an idol in your life, that idol has taken your soul. It has taken a great part of you. He who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. The thing about your soul and my soul is that we don't see it. It's inside the body. So I can be sitting in the church with my body. Meanwhile, my soul is somewhere else. Are you here? Exodus 20 verse 3. You must not have any God but me. You must not have any God but me. He who has not lifted up his soul to any idol. What is an idol? Number one, an idol can be anything you choose over God. Anything you choose over God. In other words, if they place the thing here, they place God here, you will go for the thing. That's an idol. I can also say an idol is anything you love more than God. Anything you love more than God, anyone you love more than God is an idol. An idol can be anything that takes the place of God in your heart. An idol can be anything for which you are ready to compromise your Christianity for. Like every time this thing appears, you are ready that you can compromise anything you believe. You don't mind as long as you can get this thing. That's an idol. An idol is anything or anyone for which or for whom God will lose your vote for. Like if they place the thing here and they place God here and they ask you to vote, God will lose your vote over that thing. That's an idol. Are you still here? See, I'm talking about the main hindrance to your walk with God. It's an idol. There's something in your life and in my life that is responsible for this shallow walk with God. It's an idol. So I want to take you through a few idols, and maybe as I take you through them, you can ask yourself, has this thing become an idol? Or maybe this is the idol that I'm worshiping at the moment. And this is why I cannot walk nicely with God, because there's this idol in my life. Number one, self. The first idol that I want to introduce you to is yourself and myself. Yourself can be your own idol. You love yourself more than you love God. You love yourself more than you love the word of God. If you love something, even though the Bible says you shouldn't do, you do it because you love yourself. You love yourself. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, it says that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. So it's a serious problem that people love themselves. They focus on themselves. Girls want to be more and more beautiful, more and more attractive, more and more sexually attractive. They are investing on themselves. Even if it means people are no more sure if you are still a Christian or not, as long as you are doing what you like, you are okay. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. You're the type, you love your body. You love your intelligence more than you love the word of God. You love your ideas. You are so into yourself. Once you've made up your mind about something, nobody can change your mind. Even if you are wrong, you would rather go to hell being wrong than accepting that, no, I was wrong. You love yourself too much to admit that you are wrong. You love yourself too much to admit that you missed it. To even say, I'm sorry. Lovers of themselves. Matthew 16, 24, 25. Jesus said to the disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, he must give up his own way. He must give up his own way. You see, you can't follow Jesus, you know, while you are holding on to your own way. Those of us that it is your way or the highway. You see, you and Jesus can't go far. For you to go with Jesus, you must give up your own way. Your own way. Your own way of thinking. Your own way of doing things. Your own way of solving problems. Like God has another way to get you there. And if you don't give up your way, you and him will not get there. You will get there by yourself. You must give up your own way. Give up your own way to get married. Give up your own way to find a job. Give up your own way to be beautiful. Give up your own way to get things. Give up your own way. If you and God are going to walk together, you have to admit that your way might not always be the right way. Then you have to choose his way. And that's where we start having a problem, because we believe our way. We know our way. We are used to our way. And we are not willing to let it go. And that's where you and God, the work starts becoming shallow. When God said, let's turn right, you say, no, me, I know this thing. Let's go left. He said, no, let's go right. No, I want to go left. Are you seeing that just that you and him have already parted ways? He says right, you say left. He goes on to say, take up your cross and follow me. Now he says in verse 25, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, meaning Jesus' sake, he says you will save it. You will save it. So you are trying to hang on to your life. Your ideas, your philosophies, your intelligence. It's not helping you. So the first idol we are dealing with, self. Self. The idol of self. How you love yourself. You love your own way. Your own things. And it's so difficult to take the way of Jesus. Self. The second idol, we call it comfort. Comfort is the next one. Comfort is an idol that people are dying for. They are ready to do anything to be comfortable. No pain, no suffering, no sorrow. Everything must be soft and nice. When you are following, when you are worshiping the God of comfort or the idol of comfort, you are into safety, security, and the soft life. Those are the things you are into. And I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to believers of Jesus, that we are here, and the reason why you and God might never walk together is because you are into comfort. You are into soft life. You are into security. You are into your safety. So if you and God are going to work together, God must make sure he brings, you know, BMW X6. He must put you in the best neighborhood. He must make sure that you have bodyguards all the time. I mean, he must never suggest certain places to you. He must never mention certain things to you because it's risky. How different we are from the old people that we read about in the Bible. God comes to Abraham. Abraham is 75 years old. He says to Abraham, leave everything and go to a place I will show you. He doesn't even tell him where he's going. He said, I will show you the place when you get there. Do you think that if Abraham was after security and safety and comfort, I mean, he's 75 years old, he already has wealth, he already has a few, do you think he could leave those things to just go to nowhere? And that's why some people can't walk with God. Because they are too comfortable, they love comfort, they want to know everything before they take the first step. And I came to tell you this morning, if you're going to walk with God, many times you will not know where he's taking you. You will not know where. You have to believe him. He will not give you all the details before you can start. He's not going to do that. Hebrews 11 verse 25, the Bible says, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction. It was a choice. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin, comfort, niceness, soft life, what is good, pleasure for a season. I repeat, for a season. It doesn't last. That thing doesn't last. It's for a season. It's for a season. And you know, every year, every day, every week, you will find a believer who will rather choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season rather than suffer afflictions with the people of God. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship. Walking with God will not always be comfortable. And if you are after pleasure, if you are after safety, and comfort, I'm sorry to say, I think you and him will part ways at a certain junction. I don't think you will continue with him because, and there's a gospel that is preached today. It's the gospel that, no, God is going to give you riches. God is going to make you this. God is going to do it. So people come to God with the mind that God is going to bring all the comfort for them. Like God is going to take away everything and just make them nice and soft and or whatever. These are the same people. If God, Jesus was to say to one of them, go and preach the gospel to that village where there is nobody who knows Jesus, they will never agree. Why? Because it is not a comfortable place to go to. It is not a safe place to go to. So those people are doomed to hell because the people who can preach to them are into comfort. They are into comfort. I thank God, this gospel that I'm preaching to you here, I'm not preaching, I know the background behind them, I give you the impression that we are somewhere in a big city of South Africa. Actually, I'm in a village. I'm right in the village. God sent me in a village, and I have found myself very comfortable in a village because that's where God sent me, and I've come there. I don't know how many people will say yes, you will leave Sun City to go to a village. I don't know how many people will agree. We lack comfort. And in the name of comfort, we will allow ourselves to disobey God. In the name of comfort, we will allow ourselves to miss God simply because we are chasing comfort. Not the will of God. Not the will of God. I would like to bless you with this word from Paul the Apostle. A man who chose affliction over comfort. Just as long as it is the will of God. I'm not here saying that go and look for trouble. I'm saying if it is the will of God for you to go through something and you are refusing because it is painful, because it is hard, and you are going for the soft one, it means you and God will not walk fast for a long time. Let me bless you with these words by Paul the Apostle. Philippians 4 verse 11 to 13. I am not saying this because I am in need. Because I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be in plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all. All. I like, he says here, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Any and every situation, I can manage it. Believers that are chasing the God of comfort can only manage blessing situations. They can only manage abundance situations. They can only manage money situations. Don't bring anything else. They will not be believers again. That's the last day they will come to church. That's the last day they will sing in the choir. That's the last day they will please God. The compromise will start instantly. Instantly. Because we are chasing comfort. A nice life. Look, am I against nice life? No. But I'm saying nice life should not be your aim. Your aim should be God. And wherever God says we go, that's where we go. That's where we go. We don't come and start saying, Lord, are you sure that's, do you know what is going on in that place? You are saying I must go there. Are you sure you know what is happening there? Me, I took information. Oh, that place is very bad. Idol number three, money. It's an idol. Idol number one is yourself. Idol number two is what? Comfort. Idol number three, money. Money. I think I should have even started actually with this one. This was supposed to be the first one. Money. This one, even God felt the challenge of this one. He spoke about it. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. What does that mean? Money is what? A master. Money is a boss. Boso kema chelete. That's the boss. And if chelete is your boss, brother, there's a saying that money is a great servant, but a very bad master. When money is serving you, money is a very good servant. But when money becomes your master, money is a terrible master to have. It will make you do things that you never thought you can do. So you rather have money as a servant. Never allow money to become your master, not to mention your God. When money becomes your God, you are really in trouble. Yeah? Money will ask you to go and sleep with newborn babies. Yeah. To have him. He will say to you, this thing that you are asking, you need to sleep with three babies. You need to kill your mother. You need to kill your sister. You need to do this. If people can tell you what the God of money has asked them to do, to have it, you need to stand on the street every night, even in winter, in the name of money. A very good servant, but a terrible master. Terrible master. When money is ruling you, you will not believe the things you will do. Yeah. He says, either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Then he says, you cannot serve both God and money. So basically, he said money can be your master. He said you can love money. He says you can be devoted to money. And he says you can serve money. So you need to think about it. Is money serving me or am I serving money? What is going on between me and money? Who is the master? Yeah. Is money my master or am I master over money? Anybody that cannot say to money, you will go and be tight. I will make you tight. You becoming tight and you are going to that basket. Money is saying, no. Don't take me to that place. I don't like such places. Take me to the mall. Take me over there. Take me there. Don't take me there. I don't like, don't joke me. Don't take me there, please. Then you also say, yeah, sorry, master, sorry. Ne? I will not go there. We'll go that side. And where do you want to go? No, take me to the mall. Take a lot of me to the mall. Let me enjoy myself. Yeah, take a lot of me to the tavern. When you are going to church, don't take me there. If you take a little, just small thing. Don't take a lot of me in that place. I don't like such places. Yeah. Don't give me to the people that really need me in your family. Give me to your girlfriend. Those are the people I want you to give me. You must give me where I want to go. Don't give me to your mother, even though she needs me to help your brothers. Don't give me there. I don't like her, so don't give her. Give me to your girlfriend. Give me to the bottle. Give me to cigarette. Give me to drugs. Give me to a party. I love those ones. They don't withhold anything. Just release me. I like those places. So money is a master of this person. This person loves money. This person is devoted to money. So money can be an idol. I pray for you and myself that if money has been ruling over us, By the time of this message, end of the, I will show you what to do with idols. You need to do those things against money. Are you listening? Number four, the idol of relationships. Idol of relationships. Yeah. A lot of people cannot walk with God because they have a boyfriend. like him and God can never be close. I'm sorry, because I'm close with Jack. I'm so close to Jack, I can't be close to God. I'm so close to Julia, I can't be close to the Holy Spirit. There's a person you are so close to, and you are, the closeness with that person is the reason why you and God are distant. Yeah? Luke 14 verse 20, still another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. Do you know that God is calling these guys to come to him with to a banquet, and the guy says, I just got married, I cannot come. Relationships. Relationships. There's a boy in your life. That's the reason why you and God cannot walk together. And I'm not saying relationships are bad. I'm just saying anything that is elevated above God has now become a dangerous thing. It is an idol. It is an idol. So in other words, if they place the boy here and they place God here, you choose the boy. Ah, no, Pastor, me, I can't. Me, I love my God. But you keep choosing the boy every week over God. You don't come for prayer because of the boy. You miss Sunday service because of the boy. You don't read your Bible because of the boy. You don't pray because of the girl. And you are saying that you cannot choose the boy over God. You are already doing it. You're already doing it. May God forgive us this morning. Number five, material possessions. Material possessions. Luke 14, 17 and 18. At the time of the banquet, he sent the servants to tell those who had been invited, come, everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I just bought a field. I must go see it. Please excuse me. So you see, a relationship was the reason why he cannot come. But also, material possessions. Material possessions. I just bought a field. There's something I just bought. I just bought this car. I need to take good care of. I just bought this house. I'm trying to buy this. I need to work extra. Material possession. Remember the young boy I spoke about in the beginning? He had many possessions. When Jesus told him to let go of those things, he said, no. You have touched the wrong side. I can't. I'm very, very sorry. Jesus, I like you, but I think I'm going to like you from a distance. I'm going to like you from a distance. The Lord Jesus is saying in Luke 12 verse 15, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possession. But you see, our world today has trained us that the more you have, like, it means you are doing well. You have 10 houses, you have 6 cars, you have 2 wives and 3 side chicks, you have 7 children, you have 10 businesses, you have this, that. The more you have, like when we look at you, the first question, what do you have? In our world today, it's not who are you, it's what do you have? When a girl wants to date you, her first question in her mind is, what do you have? What do you have? How much money do you make at the end of the month? Jesus says, life does not consist in the abundance of possession. Life does not consist in the abundance of possession. Life does not consist how many houses you have. How much money do you make? And there are people that do not realize how great they are to God. But just because they don't have money yet, they think they are nothing. They themselves, like, not even other people, they themselves think they are nothing. Simply because they don't have a car yet. Because they don't have a 6 digits in their account yet. Because they don't have a car yet. They feel they are less of a man. They are less of a human being. And then they start having those things. I hope you realize they will not have those things. Those things will have them. Because you are believing that this is what is going to make you somebody. I mean, if I believe that the car is what will make me somebody, I hope you realize if I ever get a car, I will not let go of it. Because I feel this is what is making me somebody. So if I have a car, don't ask me to give it away. Job told us, naked we came to this world. Naked we're going to leave this world. Don't forget that. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:7, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. And we can take nothing with us when we leave the world. Don't forget that. Okay, the day you were born, what did you bring? Haven't you noticed when you are going, the only thing, when we feel sorry for you, we put you in a coffin. That when we feel very sorry for you, we put you in a coffin. Many people die without a coffin. They are thrown there. Some are thrown in the water. Some are left. I mean, the prisoners of war, people that died during war, that then Ukraine, do you think they are burying those people? They are just perishing there, you know. They turn into grass. We came with nothing. We are living, we are taking nothing with us. So don't base your life on how much you possess. Don't let the idol of material possession possess you. Thank God for the blessing he has given you, but never allow the blessing to possess you. Don't allow that to happen to you. And this is how you know that blessings are not possessing you. Psalm 112 verse 3. The Bible says, wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endures forever. This is an amazing scripture. That there is wealth and riches in your house, and yet you are still God-fearing. He says their righteousness endures forever. Even though there's wealth and riches in their house, but wealth and riches haven't turned them into a godless person. Don't be the believer that you only come to church because you are poor, you are broke, and you are coming to church. Because poverty and lack is in your house. Poverty and lack is in their house. Their righteousness endures forever. As long as wealth and riches are in their house, the unrighteousness that starts coming, you can't control it again. But God is showing you in this scripture, it is possible to be rich and God-fearing. It is possible to drive a very expensive car and you still kneel down before Jesus. It is possible to have a big business and you still come for an all-night prayer. It is possible to have a beautiful wife and you are still pure. Wealth and riches are in their house, yet their righteousness endures forever. It doesn't stop. They don't stop being righteous because they are now rich. They don't stop being righteous because they are now wealthy. What a blessing. That you should not allow wealth and riches to steal you from your walk with God. Are you catching it? Yeah. Many of you, you will have gold in your hand and God in your heart. It's as if out there they're saying to you, to have God in your heart, there must be nothing in your hand. But as soon as gold enters your heart, God must leave your. As soon as gold enters your hand, God must leave your heart. No. It is possible to have God in your heart and gold in your hand. And that is where you are going. I said that is where you are going. You are going to a place where God will bless you, but you will not stop walking with God. Hallelujah. You will be like Abraham. No matter how much God gives you, you can give back to God. You don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. Number six. Another idol is your career. Your career. See, that idol has messed up many people. Many people will never become pastors because of their career. Yeah. They know in their heart of hearts, I'm supposed to preach the gospel. I'm supposed to be a blessing. I'm supposed to sing in the choir. But the career is drawing them. Every decision is career based. Am I against you having a good career? No. But I think it's a problem when career is what is leading you. Luke 14 verse 19. Another said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Business. I'm going to try a new thing. I'm going to check if this thing can work. I just bought this new thing. I'm going to try it out to see. Because oxen talks of business. Oxen, they are for plowing and getting crops and all of that. So that's career. It's different from the guy who bought a land. That's a property. That's a possession. But oxen, we're talking about something that can generate revenue and profit. That's why he says, I'm on my way to try them out. I want to see if I did a good investment. So he says, please excuse me. Wow. Because of my career, excuse me, I cannot come. James 4, 13 and 15. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Do you see how people talk? He says, you are saying today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there. We are not even there for a long time. We are just there for a year. And that's how career people are. They are chasing money, so they don't stay in a place for a long time. They come, and as long as there are no more, or another place is offering more, they've jumped to that place. He said, we'll be there for a year or so, and we'll carry on business and make money. Ooh. Then he says, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In other words, you are not guided by money or by career. You are guided by what? The Lord's will. The Lord's will. You want to do the will of God. And if the will of God says, this is where you have to be, that's where you're going to be. No matter how much money they are offering you over there. Hey, but believers today, they don't operate like that. Oh. No. Believers today are operating with, no, that's a better career opportunity. No, there's more benefits. There are more benefits. That's what we are working with. Not the will of God. So we are ready to jump any minute. Even if you were in the will of God, you will see a person jumping. And when they jump like that, maybe they were playing such a good role in the church where they were. They were helping a lot of people there. But money called, career opportunity has called. They jump and go, and the whole thing collapses where they were. Sometimes it takes God about 5 years to find a replacement. Number 7 is success. You are just after success. Number 8 is social media. You love it more than you love God, more than you love prayer, more than you love the reading of your word. You are on social media more than you are in the church. It's an idol. And that idol can be the reason, it can be the hindrance why you and God can't go far. The idol of social media, TikTok, you know all those names, all those things, Facebook, YouTube, this and this. Every time you open your phone, you are on social media. I mean, social media is worshipped about 10, or let's say about 7 to 8 hours a day by you. You worship social media. Like, you are there with social media for 7 hours. But if I ask you to be with God for 2 hours, I must pay you. I must come and collect you at the spot. And I must drop you back at the spot. And while you are at church, I must make sure there's water for you. I must make sure everything is there. The God of social media. Then the God of approval. Are looking to be approved. People must like you. And you are ready to do anything just so that people can like you. Lastly, the God of food. Philippians 3 verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. But your stomach can become a God just now. Your stomach. He said their God is their stomach. This is an idol we don't talk a lot about, yet this idol is ruling over our lives. How many of us will never fast? Because this God says, me, eat, come and eat breakfast here. Come and eat lunch. As you are talking of passing from where? Come and eat this thing. You just run. Oh. Some of us, you even woke up at night. He said, I want to eat now. You go in the kitchen or you start cooking. Because the God has said, feed me now. Be delivered from this spirit in the name of Jesus. Now, as we close, 4 things to do against these idols. Number 1, admit that there's an idol or idols in your life. You have to admit it first. You see, look, you cannot fight something you don't even admit is there. Admit. You start there. Admit that, look, there's an idol in my life. Or there are idols. This thing Pastor was talking about, hey, these guys, they are in my life. Number 2, call them by their actual name. Idols. You see, if you were calling them, you know, if you go around and say, you know, I've got about 7 idols in my life. Even yourself, you would be afraid when you say that there are 7 idols in my life. Do you see? Yeah. So the reason why these things stay, because we don't use the right name to call them. You say, no, there's a weakness. Oh, no, there's a problem. Oh, no, there's a situation. There's a situation. There's some trouble. There's some issues. I've got some issues. Look, these are not issues. These are what? Idols. You must call the thing its name. Call it by its name. I've got the idol of money worrying me. I've got the idol of food worrying me. I'm traumatized by the idol of relationships. Julia has become my idol. She's no more a girlfriend. She's an idol. She controls me. I only think about her. The Bible says I'm going to think about Jesus. I can't think about God. I can't think about the work of God. I can't think about the church. I think about Julia day and night. I think about Maxwell. I think about Joseph. It is an idol. If you don't call it its name, you will not defeat it. 3, repent before God for worshiping and serving foreign gods. Repent before God for worshiping and serving foreign gods. Psalm 81 verse 9. You shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. So you see, we have just fought against this verse, we have allowed other gods in our midst. So as I'm moving like this, I've got about 7 gods that are moving along with me. I come to church, some of my gods wait outside. Some that are very, very arrogant, they enter the church. Yes, hey, they sit next to me. They say, no, let's listen to Pastor Pascal. I like the way he preaches. He's going to preach another good sermon for us, but we are here. We are here. Foreign gods in our hearts, they are the reason why we can't walk with God. Foreign gods, idols in our spirits, in our minds. Number 4, start a persistent and a long war against every idol present in your life. Let me repeat myself. Start what? A persistent and what? A long war. You see, fighting idols is not a short war. It's not something you're going to fight today and it's gone. You must understand it's going to be a long war. The war of Ukraine has lasted 3 years. It's still on. Some wars, they can last a month. Other wars can last. The civil war in Liberia lasted 11 years. Depending on how close the thing is to your heart, the war might not be won until maybe a whole year. That's what I'm saying. Persistent. You have to be determined. This thing is coming down. This thing is coming down. And I'm going to be on it for a long time. I know it's going to take me a while, but I will fight this thing. I will take it down. Ultimately, it's coming down. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to start a long and persistent war against the idols in your life? Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, in the realm of the spirit, I see angels blowing trumpets already to say the war is beginning. The war is starting now. The war has started. They are blowing the trumpet. We are starting the war now. Listen to this beautiful scripture in the book of Deuteronomy 12, verse 3. As we close, he says, break down their altars and smash their sacred pillars. Then burn their Asherah poles and cut down their caves idols. Then completely erase the names of their gods. Hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's like this is like it's like you are fanatically against the thing. It said number 1, break down. Number 2, smash. Number 3, burn. Number 4, cut down. Number 5, completely erase. Completely erase. Ooh, erase everything. Like by the time you come back, you can't find the thing. It's gone. Hallelujah. Can you stand on your feet? We're going to pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Let's appreciate God for his presence in this place. I just want you to pray now and say to the Lord, Father, reveal every hidden idol in my life. Reveal every hidden idol. And if God has already revealed, just start thanking him for revealing. But if there are other idols, say, Lord, reveal every hidden idol in my life. Open your mouth and begin to pray that prayer. Ye katevele mazubre katere mandora makandara mandere mandereba. Jabra gada bagoda bashandere mandereba. Thank you, Lord. 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 That idols are being smashed. Idols are being smashed. They are being broken down. They are being burned. They are being completely erased. Completely erased. Completely erased. Whatever looks like an idol is being completely erased in the name of Jesus. Mandeleva, masondeleva, masumolema. Manchelemena, Zapelekado, Menchere Pelaga, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name. Right now, I want to pray for you. You've heard the word. You are not born again. You see, we can't even talk to adults to you if you haven't accepted Jesus. It is the presence of God that makes everything else an idol. If Jesus is not there, then you are still an idol worshiper. And you need to turn to God this morning. I'm going to count up to three. You are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want Jesus to come into my life. I would like to pray with you. One, two, three. Your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.